Hello, hello, hello. Muy bien. Bienvenidos, bienvenidas. Welcome. Welcome, welcome to the English webinar. Today is Monday, October 30th. I am Becky Fliego. And well, thank you guys for being here. This is the webinar for the Bible Reading Challenge. From Christchurch, Moscow, Idaho, and I'm very happy to be here. Very grateful that the Christchurch Ladies Fellowship asked me to do these webinars. It's such a privilege. Thank you so much for being here today. Different background. Today I am in Moscow, Idaho. Actually, we arrived yesterday, last night. And anyways, we're very grateful for the hospitality that we always receive here in Moscow, Idaho. Super excited to be in this city. Let's start, friends. Emily, thank you for being here. Thank you so much. Okay, so this let's pray. Let's start by praying, shall we? Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us. Thank you for your word. Thank you because we know how to read, oh Lord. Thank you because we have the Bible and we can read it in our own language. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who teaches us and help us understand what we read in your word. May your Holy Spirit apply your word to our lives this week. May we be transformed and encouraged as we read and meditate on it. Please, Lord, help us so that we may love your word more than more and more. And have you ready on our mouth each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the encouragement. It's good to see you guys here. Thank you so much. Okay, so what are we going to be reading this week? This week we're going to be reading Numbers 26 through 39, 1 Corinthians 5 through 16, Psalm 44. We're going to have a catch-up day, a surprise catch-up day on Friday. I like that they come randomly, right? I think that was a great thing. Random catch-up days. Deuteronomy 1 through 4 and Mark 1 through 4. And okay, so let's start with what we read last week. Last week we read Numbers 1 through 25, the three epistles of John, and started 1 Corinthians. And we've been reading how the story of redemption keeps unfolding and how there are no isolated events from this one main redemptive story. God has brought each event about to reveal something about himself to us, to reveal actually all of himself to us. And he is a God that since the very beginning we've been seeing and reading, has determined to make himself known. He has always been the one taking the initiative to save his people, to reach out. God, in his kindness, never does anything without revealing something more about his character to us. So he what everything that God does with a purpose and also teaches something more about himself as we read the scriptures. And that is very important because as we read the scriptures, we see that progression. But even the people in the Bible saw that progression also. Adam and Eve had this relationship with God, and then the sin came, right? And then we start to see how, like we were surprised about Abraham, how he knew about these things, how he why he did these things, and we kept saying that he did not have the law, he did not have the revelation of the law, all of it, right? So it was a progression. The understanding of God was a progression. Even the name of God was not revealed until Moses came. You might remember that, and then we can just go on, and if we know our Bibles. Maybe not everyone has read it all, but you know that, at one point in Pentecost comes the Holy Spirit and dwells with the people of God. So that's in, the revelation is always progressive. So as we read the Bible, we can see that pattern, but the people in the Bible also lived through that pattern of progressive revelation. Okay, so let's talk now, like a little summary. Let's talk about what some of the ways that God has been really revealing himself to us in the scriptures that we've been seeing. Number one, we talked about God being God. God is God and we are not. He's both creator and redeemer. And we first need to know him as redeemer to really understand him and know him about us creator. I gave that particular quote in the webinar, first webinar, I think, or second webinar. And I don't remember, sorry, I don't have it here, if it was the Spurgeon or Matthew Henry. I just want to mention that it was, we need to know God as our redeemer before we know him as our creator. God is sovereign and rules through his providence. That's the second thing. God is sovereign and he rules through his providence. Next thing we've learned so far is God is merciful and faithful, but also just and jealous. Remember, we've been seeing that. We've been seeing that he rescues his own people and judges also, right? He judges what? The sin and the sinner. It's a hard thing. It's a hard thing, especially in this time in which we live, in which we don't want to talk about God judging the sinners. People are emphasizing the part that God loves the sinner and hates the sin. But at the end of the day, you know, who is being judged? Not only the sin, but also the sinner. And that is important. We've seen that. We've seen that clearly, like in the flood, for example. Not only the sins were drowned, but the sinners, right? In the Red Sea, who was drowned? The sin of the Egyptians, their idolatry, or the sinners as well, right? It's very important to understand that. We also have been learning and seeing that God is love, that God is truth, and God is holy. We emphasize and talked about that in depth in the last webinar, which I strongly recommend. It was really good. I enjoyed putting that one together. And because God created and redeemed a people for his own, including Christians today who have repented and believe, right? We are now to respond to his calling by walking according to his character, which is revealed to us in the scriptures, in the word. We cannot know God today apart from his word. Super important, very important. Like as you see, we're kind of seeing different principles that I've been mentioning, but it's important that we, you know, take the time to, okay, you know, like, let's see what we've been seeing so far. So God is holy and he calls us to be holy as he is holy. We are to walk as people who have been set free, which also means that we keep walking as people who have been made clean, right? We've read that in Leviticus, how important that is, in Numbers as well. We cannot go on sinning. We see the connection in John. And because we have been called to walk in the light, be in holiness. Christ is light, and in him there is no darkness. And if we are in Christ, we cannot be in darkness. Let's not forget what we have been reading also in the Pentateuch. And let's be, the main thing that we've been reading in the Pentateuch is about Jesus. As we turn pages, we must remember that Jesus said that about Pentateuch in John 5, right? He said, "But for if you believe Moses, you should believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you don't believe in his writings, how will you believe my words?" So we need to keep that as a, you know, like a North Pole star. Like we know that we're reading and we're reading about Jesus because Jesus told us at the Pentateuch that the books that Moses wrote are about him. That's important. We've also read that Christ is the fulfillment of all the law. And now through him, we can have access to all the promises God made to Abraham. In Christ, we are heirs of the promise. And we read Galatians. It was an amazing book. But in Galatians 3 specifically, we read all about this. We read how Christ crucified, Christ risen, and Christ who has ascended to heaven is the basis of the gospel we believe and we preach. Jesus and the gospel that we proclaim about Jesus is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And this is the same gospel that Abraham believed. We are not saved in a different way than the Old Testament people were saved. We all are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Now, because we know all these, it's easier for us to understand and explain the unbelievers why Jesus is the only way to God the Father, and how, you know, and we can, it's easier for us to explain them why there is no salvation apart from Jesus. It's impossible. It is impossible. We now understand, we can explain from all these different points, you know, from different angles, why it's impossible. In Numbers 5, we read a hard to understand test for adultery. We talked, several people asked and commented about that on the Facebook page. And today we do not have the waters of jealousy. We don't have those tests, any kind of tests like that. As Christians, we don't have that. But what is it that we have? We have the Word of God. We have the Word of God, which is powerful and tests all our deeds. Every single one of our deeds are tested by the Word of God. And God punishes them when, you know, He chastises His people. And the way that we see in the book of Numbers that we read was the punishment was severe because sin is always severe, right? And God never lies about our deeds. Never lies about our deeds when they are revealed through his word. Mm-hmm. God's word is a lamp and not sin, not even one sin can remain hidden from his light, from his word. So that's why it's so important to come to the word constantly, because the word, it's the water that reveals our sins and washes us from our sins. Mm-hmm. In Numbers 12, we read of the time in which Miriam and Aaron murmur against Moses, and God heard them even before Moses had heard them. And God punishes them, and the punishment is severe because like leprosy, bitterness, all complaining, and all murmuring can contaminate the whole camp. I think that should make us think a lot about our words. We can, you know, we read in James. We have not read James in the Bible reading challenge, but you all know, right? This is so important. How this is just crazy, right? How James talks about the fire, how our tongue can, you know, just make a fire out there, and now we see another thing here, like our words can contaminate, just like leprosy can contaminate, mm-hmm. the whole camp. Very, very, very important to be mindful about this. It is worth noting that in other passages like Deuteronomy, it is worth noting that in all passages like Deuteronomy 1:27 and Psalm 106:25, God heard the murmuring and complaining that was going on in the tents of the people, inside their houses, in their private conversations. Our murmuring and complaining will never go unnoticed by God. We must start today seeing what terrible sins murmuring, complaining, and bitterness are. We must repent and ask God to cleanse us and heal the infection that we have probably spread around us through our words and our murmuring and complaint. Only He can do that, and He can use us to bring healing and restoration with our words too. We also read that Moses sent the spies to the land, and the report that the majority of the spies brought back was based on fears which were founded not in imaginary situations. When I was reading that, that was something that I was reading, and I was like rereading, and I was like, wow, you know, like they are actually bringing their fears are well grounded. They are not imagining giants. They are not imagining strong people, right? Those were not imaginary feelings. But only two of those spies chose to trust God's word, God's promise, in spite of all the obstacles they saw. where the word of God, God's promise, was bigger than the giants, was stronger than all the giants and all the many obstacles that they saw, because God had spoken that. They believed the promise, and they believed that the promise would sustain them and give them the victory over their enemies. Their hope was not shaken because it was grounded in God's word. And I think this is so important for us women that tend to fear, right? To be anxious, to worry, and to, we are like that. We need to battle that. And maybe our fears are well grounded. Maybe we're not imagining situations, right? But we need to focus our eyes on God's promises and believe that His promise is truer than our fears. It's solid. Mm-hmm. Oh, that is so wonderful, right? We also read many of the prayers that Moses prayed for his people. We've read many, many of his prayers. And in from those prayers that we've read, and I want us now to be, we're going to start reading more about more epistles and things like that. I'm going to be pointing to different prayers, but like in Numbers 14, for example, we have a prayer from Moses, but we learned two things about prayer from Moses' way of praying. He either comes to God with a promise in his mouth. He says, God, you said this, and then he, you know, you brought these people, you promised these. So he brings a promise in his word, in his mouth, when he prays to God. That's his argument. Uh-huh. Or if he doesn't have a promise, what he does, he appeals to his character. He appeals to his character. God, you are faithful. You do not want to let these people perish. He knows God's character. Right? And he appeals to his character. I think those are so two very, very, very valuable and important lessons that we need to learn in our prayer life. It's either we come to God in prayer with a promise in our mouth, in our hands, and that's what the way we ask God about something, or we appeal to his character, right? What a great thing to learn from these prayers. So of course, in order to do either of those or those two, we must know the scriptures well, right? How can we have a promise of God in our mouth? So how can we know God's character if we never comes to the scriptures? If we want to grow in our prayer life, we must grow in our knowledge of God's word. There's no other way. How are we going to know if we're praying according to God's word if we are not in the word, if we do not know the word of God? As I've said before, we read as we pray and we pray as we read. How important is that? In the three epistles of John, we read how God insists on separating the clean from the unclean, and unrepentant sin will be judged, but John appeals to God's character. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us from all our sins. It is very interesting to note how John puts together these two. He is faithful and just to forgive us. Because he is holy, he cannot overlook the sin of men. Your sin and my sin included. Sin always deserves death. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. We've learned that. So to fulfill his word, right, God, our sin, that part of the sinful nature, that our sinful nature that we inherited from Adam, needed to be atoned. And that is why God sent his only begotten son to save us from our sins. For our sake, Jesus, who was sinless, became man, and became sin. Not only became man, but he became sin and became the curse, so that he could atone for our sins on the cross. He shed his blood for the remission of our sins. God is indeed showing how faithful and just he is when he forgives our sins. How can we go on sinning? How can we go on pretending that our sins are not grievous? How can we go on excusing or murmuring and just being bitter and cultivating resentment. We cannot hide our uncleanness. We cannot pretend it is not there and go on contaminating those around us. No, but today we can repent and believe and be forgiven and be cleansed. He is faithful and just to forgive us from all our sin. So what will we be reading this week? This week we will be reading the first four chapters of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is in many ways one of the most important books in the Old Testament. Of course, it's hard, right? It's hard to pick one, but it's just like Romans, right? In the New Testament, we know that it's very, very important book in the New Testament. So also Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is amazing, an amazing, amazing book. I love Deuteronomy. And it's for sure the most quoted Old Testament book that Jesus quoted. Uh-huh. And the Epistle of Hebrews, for instance, can be read hand in hand with this book, as Paul quotes from it almost in every chapter. So it was very hard when I was putting the webinar, you know, like the Bible reading plan together. It was hard because I was like, should I put it with Hebrews and Leviticus or Hebrews and Deuteronomy? But I think it worked great. But maybe next time you can on your own read Hebrews and Deuteronomy. That's another great way to do it. So in this book, we will read a series of sermons. So Deuteronomy is a series of sermons that Moses gave to his people to a new generation that was born and grew up in the wilderness. The generation that will actually conquer the land, because the ones that came out from Egypt were not going to inherit the land. We know that. So this new generation that was born and grew in the wilderness, so Moses is delivering these sermons for them. How I wish I could hear Moses's voice, and now the voice of an older man delivered these speeches. He saw the people in slavery. He was called, he lived in Pharaoh's life, right? He killed an Egyptian and trying to save a Hebrew. He fled, he failed. He was called later and equipped, and he trusted that God would be able to fulfill his promises. So he acted upon God's words. He saw God's judgment fall over the Egyptians and their sins and their false gods. And he slaughtered a ram and trusted that God's angel would pass by that night, and none of the firstborns would die. He saw the Red Sea being parted and the Egyptians being drowned. He saw the glory of God. He heard his voice and the promises and the laws, and he gave them. He pleaded before God for these people so many times. He wanted to reach the promised land. But again, he failed. But his failing was not for perdition, and that is very important, because God had indeed called him. His failing was not for perdition. Now Moses is here. He knows he will not enter the promised land, but he knows that this story is not about him, but about God's name being made glorious and known throughout all the earth. Moses knows the promise given to Adam and Eve and the promise made to Abraham. So he finds the strength and stands in front of his people and encourages them to keep going, to pursue God's holiness, to love God. Circle every time, if you're circling your Bible, circle every time the word love appears. It's amazing. It's amazing to take over the land. The first four chapters in this book are a prologue to the book, a historical prologue. And in these first four chapters of Deuteronomy, we will read how Moses will retell some of the major events that had led the people to this point. Moses wants his people to remember what God had done. And yes, remember is a major theme to track through the book. If anyone is prone to leave God, it's because they are prone to forget God's mercies, God's chastisements, and God's word. Those three things. So if you hear yourself murmuring and complaining, maybe you've stopped being intentional about remembering God's mercies and his character and his word. So today is a good day to repent from your forgetfulness and believe that God will again carry you through. God will answer your prayers because he wants his people to remember how good he is. Maybe this Friday on our catch-up day, you may want to sit down and jot down all the many ways in which God has proven to be faithful to you, to your family, to your parents, to your local church, and to his church throughout all the ages, right? Remember, remember, remember. Psalm 44, we'll read, it's a difficult psalm, not one that we choose necessarily to sing, but one we need to learn how to pray and sing, because difficulties and things hard to understand and betrayals and pain are part of the life of the believer too. Spurgeon calls this psalm the martyr's complaint. And we need to read it and meditate on it because we need to learn how Christians should respond to suffering. And suffering, and the kind of suffering that many, many times seem to come not as a result from a specific sin. The person who wrote this psalm doesn't pretend to understand or explain what he cannot. But because he knows God's character, by faith, he can continue to boast in the Lord, praise his name, and give him thanks forever. I think that's very important, very, very important psalm to read. As you read this psalm, also note how in the first 8 verses, the psalmist is doing what Moses did and we've been talking about. He remembered past mercies and God's character, how God revealed his character in the past. What a blessed lesson. In the midst of our confusions, when we cannot put all the pieces together, what a blessed thing to do. Remember, remember what God has done for you and his people. The psalm ends with a cry of faith that relies on the character of God. His steadfast love, his mercy will not fail this time either. He will redeem his own. In 1 Corinthians, we will read that after Paul explained the gospel and the basis of its power on chapters 1 through 4, then he addresses the problems of the church. Problems are rooted in failing to keep the Ten Commandments. We see idolatry, sexual immorality, we see slandering and lack of love among the members of the church. And what is the solution to all these? The solution will always be the gospel message. Repent and believe. A gospel message that is not watered down, but a robust gospel message well-grounded in the whole counsel of God. We will start reading the Gospel of Mark this week. And the first line, the opening line, will remind you of Genesis 1:1. It says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Christ comes and with him a new era. He comes to destroy the devil and the curse that Adam and Eve, through their disobedience, inherited to all men. And he does that on the cross. In Christ, all the promises made to Abraham are fulfilled. He came to win and he won. He came to save many, and he will accomplish just that. In him, all the nations of the earth will indeed be blessed. That was a promise that God made to Abraham, that in him, even in to Adam, right? We know. So many, 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 so many that we won't be able to count will come to be, will be saved through grace by faith, just like the Father had promised. Mark, you will see, likes to tell the whole story with a feeling of urgency. He will say it immediately all the time. That's very important. Why would he not have this urgency and want to use this immediately after many times through the gospel? He had been waiting, like all the Jews, for the Messiah for so long. How can Mark not tell us with urgency the good news? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is here and he came to save us from our sins. Of course. Of course he wants to say now, he's here. It's urgency, it's there. How interesting is to see that after Jesus' baptism, which symbolizes or help us remember, we can be reminded, I'm sorry, of the crossing of the Red Sea and how his victory over the devil in the wilderness, we're making connections there, he starts proclaiming the gospel of God, the gospel of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ are the same one. Repent and believe. So you will see that it's in one part says the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then in the second part, in another verse, you will see the gospel of God. Pay attention to that. Jesus then will start doing what God has always done. We've seen that over and over again. He starts calling people for his own and starts calling them for a purpose. It does not depend on what the people did. It just depends on what, like, just he just wanted to, literally. And his unconditional calling is irresistible, because his grace abounds toward people who are totally depraved, sinful to the core. Not one people that he calls will say, no, I don't want to. Very interesting. Jesus comes and we will be reading. He will explain the law. He will give a new meaning to the law. He explains it to us. He reverses the curse and touches the unclean and makes them whole again. And because he is God, we learned, right? We talked about that in, I think, the last webinar. He cannot be contaminated. So he comes and preaches the gospel to all and forgives sins and heals many. And pay attention to chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. What a powerful event. We have read the scriptures and can understand how difficult it must have been for those in the house. Jesus is going to heal someone in the house. You will read that. And he says, son, your sins are forgiven. Of course, everyone was shocked. Not Abraham, neither Moses. No one could have ever dared to say that. And here Jesus does it. A better priest, a better mediator, he's God, right? Indeed, the kingdom of God has come. Amen. All right. Well, let's pray. Let's pray to finish. And today our prayer is based on 1 Corinthians 10. Let's pray, friends. Thank you, Lord, for the things written in your book for us. Thank you for the things that happened to our brothers and sisters before us so that we may learn not to desire evil as they did. Lord, what an expensive lesson. May we pay attention. May we read attentively. May we take heed and lean on you. Oh, Lord, help me whenever I face temptations to come to the rock, which is Christ, the rock that is higher than I, the unshakable rock, the rock of ages. Father, forgive us for the idols we worship in our lives. Forgive us for this grievous sin. Forgive us for putting you to test as our brothers and sisters did in the wilderness. Please, God, please deliver us from the temptations that want to overtake us. You are faithful, Father, and we trust in your promise. Your word says that you are faithful and will not let us be tempted beyond our ability. But with temptation, you will also provide the way of escape, that we may be able to endure it. Father, strengthen us with your word and with the sacraments of the church and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we may stand strong and flee from all forms of idolatry and partake of Christ. Help us, Lord, to discern the things that come to us. Help us to discern what things are helpful and which things are good for building up our lives in the body of Christ. Help us to choose the best. Help us, Lord, not to seek our own good, but the good of our neighbors. Help us to be intentional about these. Help us to actually seek out for opportunities to do good to those around us. May we live for your glory. May our whole life, all we do, all we think, all we read, all we watch, all we listen, bring glory to you, Lord. Oh, Lord, draw us to your word that we may know you and Jesus Christ deeply. And give us growth and humility in such big hips that we may be able to say what Paul said, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. In Jesus' name, in which there is salvation for all who repent and believe, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, ladies, for being here today. I'm so happy to be doing this, and I pray that your reading this week will be blessed and that you may encourage others. Again, we have a catch-up day on Friday, and then on Saturday we start Deuteronomy and Mark. So wonderful, wonderful day. Start planning to invite more friends to join us on Friday. Catch-up days are wonderful to invite more people. Thank you again, and see you next Monday. God bless you. Ciao.